praise God. Last week, Larry Dubin from Jews for Jesus was speaking and talking about Hanukkah, which was the a celebration of the events that took place in between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he gave a very interesting story about the persecution that took place. The Greek armies had come in under Alexander the Great, had conquered much of the known world then, and there was a particular general named Antiochus IV that took over Jerusalem. He slew a pig on the altar in the temple as an offering to, I believe it was to Zeus. But he had it in his heart to destroy Jewish worship, and he persecuted the Jews horribly. And Larry told the story of one woman during that period of time who had seven sons. And the general, the armies of the general, commanded the sons to renounce the Lord, basically, renounce Judaism. And they would not, and so as punishment, they took the oldest son and cut off his hands and cut off his feet. And I believe they may have cut out his tongue, if I remember right. And then flayed his skin and killed him, skinned him to death, basically. And then they took the next oldest son, demanded the same thing, and he refuses to renounce the law and the Lord. And so they do the same thing to him on down to till she only had one son left, and she held him close to her and begged him, please, please, whatever you do, don't renounce the Lord. Don't turn your back on the Lord, whatever it costs. And so he stood his ground, and he was faithful in spite of all they did. And that really moved me. I mean, I've never had to face persecution like that. I don't know if any of you guys were touched by that. It humbled me, you know, because of all the things that I get upset about, and I think, wow, Lord, you really want me to do that? You really want me to go through that? And I haven't been challenged at all when I compare myself to that kind of a sacrifice. You know, I remember, you know, as far in terms of persecution earlier this year, probably the closest I came to that was rooting for the Patriots instead of the Giants over at Mark Slater's house during the Super Bowl. What was I thinking?
You weren't.
I wasn't, yeah. Actually, you know, we've been very blessed in this country not to have to go through that type. I don't know that the future will keep us from that. I do remember, though, and forgive me if I've told this story before. You know, I'm 50 years old now, so I'm an old guy. I can tell stories over and over, same thing over and over. But several years ago, when I worked for the state, they were having a fundraiser for a particular charitable organization that would give money to other organizations. They were trying to raise a lot of money for it, and they were putting a lot of pressure on the employees, but I didn't want to participate in it because that organization also gave liberally to organizations that advocated homosexuality, that advocated political change towards them. They were a huge supporter of Planned Parenthood, and so they were funding abortion in America on a grand scale. And I said, there's no way that I can allow, you know, put my money towards that. Even if I designate or something like that, it all goes into a big pool and simply allows more for these other companies. And so as a matter of conscience, I couldn't participate in that. But they really began turning up the heat and the pressure on the employees, and they had a guy coming on the loudspeaker every day. There's about 600 employees in the company, really pressuring people to give to this and saying that if you don't, you know, you're some kind of second-class citizen, or, you know, just making very defamatory, you know, very subtle but defamatory remarks. And what they did, they had this fundraiser where they had a jail set up, this mock jail with bars and a door that opened and closed and locked. And they said, okay, you can put out a warrant for somebody in the company. If you pay money, you know, as a donation, you can put out a warrant for somebody to be arrested, and we will come and put them in this jail. And in order to get out of this jail, they have to pay money to bail themselves out, and all this money goes towards the organizations. And they said, you know, now don't be a party poop, don't be a spoil sport, you know, don't be greedy and all this kind of stuff. Come on, participate, get in, you know, we're all a team here kind of deal. And I wanted nothing to do with that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart and say, John, this is an awesome opportunity to testify for the kingdom. And I became convinced that the voice of the Holy Spirit was saying to my heart, John, what I want you to do is send an email to all the employees saying, please don't nominate your name to go in this jail because you can't participate, and here's why, and explain your convictions. And I thought, oh, isn't this good enough? I'm just not participating, you know? That's taking a stand, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit was insistent. No, this is what I would have you to do. This is a door of opportunity. This is a golden window, and you can't let this slip by. And I thought, man, if I do that, I'm going to offend a lot of people. I have to walk down the hallway, you know, back and forth several times a day. I'm an auditor. I go into all these different units. People see me. I interact. I know probably 500 of those 600 people. But he wouldn't let me go. So I was on the way to work that day. I was just in the spirit, on my face in prayer. God, give me the strength. I know this is what you want me to do. And so when I got there, I composed this little thing, and I talked about the fact that even as you're reading this right now, there are multitudes of infants. And I'm not saying this to heap guilt upon anybody. The Lord's grace is boundless to all who come to Him. But I said, you know, even as you are reading this right now, there are infants who are about to die, whose life will be cut short in a matter of moments. And as you sit at your desk safe and sound, these infants have no idea that they're about to be basically torn apart and killed. And so please don't nominate my name, because I cannot participate in this. And I wrote that. I typed it out. And I looked at that enter button for send. And man, my arm felt like lead, man. I was just like, oh, man. Once I hear that click, everything changes. And I lifted up that lead arm, and I hit send. Here we go, Lord. It's all in your hands. And it went out to 600 people. Now, back then, we didn't have any regulations about, you know, sending an email to all, as it were. After I sent that, shortly thereafter, they did institute a policy. Say, unless you are specifically authorized, you will not email every employee in the company. I wonder why they did that. But after I hit that and I knew it went out to all those people, I thought, okay, what happens now? And I just braced myself for what I felt was going to be a venomous wave of persecution. Because if you go online and see somebody post a blog or something on some very public forum, you will notice people get venomous in retaliating and attacking Christianity. Sometimes it just shocks me at the malice people have towards the Lord and towards the gospel. And so I just braced for this. And I waited. Kept checking my email. Huh? Nothing yet. Nothing yet. And then some emails started trickling in. And do you know, by and large, the response I got from that, it wasn't a large response, but it was significant, was mostly from people, Christians and non-Christians alike, either supporting me and saying, praise God, brother. Way to go, man. I'm so glad to see somebody taking a stand. Or from non-believers or people who disagreed with me strongly, saying, you know what, I disagree, but I respect your right to share your heart and speak your mind here in America. And I was shocked. And then I also got some emails from people who weren't very happy with my my little, you know, email, saying, you know, well, that's your opinion and stuff like that. But I never got that venomous stuff that I really expected. I couldn't believe it. A couple years later, a high-ranking person in the company told me that then when they got the email, that they were seriously offended, and they and some of their other coworkers were furious at me. But they restrained themselves. But maybe it was the Lord that restrained them, because He knew I was still growing in this kind of thing, and my faith wasn't at a place where I could handle that yet. But I thank God for that. I thank God for that day that I had that He gave me the grace and He gave me the courage to follow through with that. And as I walked down the halls expecting people, you know, to just like, you know, body slam me against the wall or something, it never came. It never came. And so I was able to rejoice in that victory. And I cherished that day. And I give all the glory to God, because had it been John D'Souza, I would not have done it. I didn't want to do it. But God called me. He gave me the grace. And afterwards, He was my strength and the lifter of my head. So I just rejoice in that. But you know, it's not always that easy. And not everybody has it that good. And you see people all the time caving in to pressure from friends, pressure from family. And I cave myself, so I'm not, you know, exalting myself here. I hate the fact that sometimes I just back down when I feel like the Lord is saying, stand. And I wimp out. And I rationalize it away. And I say, well, that really wasn't the Lord. You know, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Or, you know, because there's this other reason here why he probably really wouldn't want me to do that. And he's like, no, I really want you to do that. And I back out. And that happens all the time. Some of you guys, I don't know if any of you have ever, anybody here ever feel pressured by something, someone to do something contrary to what you knew God wanted you to do? Anybody? Yeah. Maybe a friend or a family member. How many people have ever given into that? Caved in. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Amen. So we all know what it's about. And sometimes you read the papers that, you know, some company has just given in, some corporation or something has given in to pressure, maybe from, you know, the militant homosexual community to amend the way they do their operations, to conform to that so they don't, you know, get hate mail anymore, so they don't get their name in bad publicity or something like that. I heard of a Christian dating service, and I haven't verified it, but I heard, you know, rumors that a Christian dating service had compromised in that way. They would not advertise for gay and lesbian relationships, and then they caved in under pressure, and now they do. It's tragic. You hear about obstetricians who refuse to perform abortions, and yet in recent court rulings, the government is now saying, well, you have to, if you're going to be a doctor licensed to practice in it's a legal practice in the state, now you have to or give up your license. And I think it's still being litigated. But that's the kind of challenges we face. That's hard. I mean, when you have poured your life into your vocation like that, and you have spent, you know, gajillions of dollars for your education, and you and countless, just literally countless hours to become a doctor, and you have labored in the name of the Lord with integrity and excellence and devotion, and to have the government come down and say, well, unless you go against your conscience and do something that you think is unspeakable and unconscionable, we're going to stop you from practicing medicine. I can't even imagine the weight of that decision. But what do you do? And we feel pressure on a regular basis to conform to the world. Amen? Very subtle things. My boss, when I sold life insurance, wanted me to... I got fired for not selling enough life insurance, but he wanted, in order to increase my book, he wanted me to lie on the application. If somebody said they had some disease or something, he didn't want me to report that. So it would go through underwriting. And the last one I had that was rejected by the company because the guy had this disease, he kicked me in the leg and said, what did you put that there for? It's like, because it's true. It's because that's what he said to me. You know, revelation. Whoa. So where do we get the strength to stand strong when we're in that situation and we all, by our own admission, have fallen and backed away when God told us to stand? Where do we find the strength to take that stand for Christ and not compromise and be bold for Him? Where can I find that one thing that will make the difference between success and failure in that moment of decision where we sense in our heart of hearts that the Holy Spirit is saying, stand, either speak or stand or act or move or whatever it happens to be. And we're in that valley of decision. Where do we find the strength, that one thing that will make the difference between success and failure for the kingdom of God? Jesus' disciples faced that decision after he arose and went to the Lord and poured out his Holy Spirit. As they first began to establish the church and preach the gospel, they faced serious persecution. And they faced that decision. The gauntlet was thrown down by the Jewish leadership. And they had to make a decision to either stand or cave. Where did they find their strength? I believe they had the key to victory. I think they used it effectively. And they found tremendous strength to stand in the face of that persecution. And that's what I want to look at today, because I think there is some real wisdom in here. Because you know what? I think come this new year, man, I think the heat is going to turn up. I just heard that Tom Daschle got appointed to some cabinet position. I don't even know what position. I don't care what position. But I know that he is no friend of Israel, that as far as he's concerned, they could just disappear off the map. I know that he would have tactics like when bills would go through to prevent partial birth abortion or some other thing like that. He would just purposely keep them away from a vote in the Senate. He would keep votes on conservative judges out of the Senate so that they couldn't get due process. And there is multitudes more being appointed that are just like him. So I think the heat's going to come up in the next several years. And we need to be prepared. That's going to affect our culture. Not only our laws, but that's going to affect our culture. It's going to trickle down. And you and I are going to see more and more and more in our daily lives pressure to conform to the things of this world. So where do we find the strength? Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5, starting in verse 17.